angels waging war in the unseen realm. Global events fulfilling biblical prophecy. Eternal life. What lies beyond mortality? From analyzing the paranormal from a biblical worldview to the discussion of cutting-edge science and technology, conspiracy, discovery, special investigative reports. Unafraid to explore the challenging issues facing humanity, welcome to another edition of Skywatch TV.
Welcome back to Skywatch TV. Today's guest, once again, here to talk about his new book, Jesus, The Premise of the Promise. In studio with me, Mr. Steve Quayle. Thanks for being on the program.
Hello, Joe.
We're also joined on the panel by Dr. Thomas Horn.
Hey, good to be here.
Thanks for being here, guys. So last week, we kind of left the program. You guys were talking about your book, Unearthing the Lost World of the Cloud Eaters. What is that about?
Yeah, well, the phrase had come up, you know, the cloud eaters. And ever since we published that book under that title, one of the biggest questions.
What is a cloud eater?
Yeah, Steve and I have both. What is a cloud eater, right? We picked that name because that book was written following a trip that Steve Quayle and I had taken. And Steve had a whole film crew down there. It's the basis of one of the films.
The Holocaust of Giants.
Yeah, the Holocaust of Giants, which Steve has on his website. We also have it in our store. Excellent film. But it was kind of a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. We got to meet with the elders of several of the different Indian tribes, the Uti and the Navajo and whatever, and talk about, you know, what was going on among the Anasazi, right, and the cliffside dwellings, and they opened the gates and let us go into places that are not even available now, right?
Right.
Down these steep cliffs into certain areas.
So I went with you guys several times.
Yeah, you did.
I did some videoing.
Yeah. And so it was really kind of a question about, you know, was there a presence of giants in early American history, which the natives will tell you, you're joking if you're asking this question,
right?
Because there totally was.
Right.
Some of the Anasazi draw the giant footprint of the Nephilim chasing the small foot. So it was really an investigation to find out about that. But while we were there, one of the guys that was among the tribal elders that agreed to sit down with us was a guy by the name of Cliff Mahudi. Now, Mahudi was the longest-running representative for the Indian Nations, Indian Affairs, to the U.S. government, 20-some years, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he agreed to sit down with us, and he was the guy that gave us that term. He said, and he said it in Indian, and we didn't know what that meant, and he said, well, in English, you might call this a cloud eater. And we said, but that's what you call the giants. And they all said, yeah, because they're so tall, their heads are up in the clouds.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so some of the ancient Indians literally called them the cloud eaters.
Right.
And so the title of the book then, Unearthing the Lost World of the Cloud Eaters. Now, the reason that came up is because, you know, on the back of Steve Quayle's final book, he says, last book, he says, that he's ever going to publish.
Final book.
Jesus, the premise of the promise. On the back of it, it begins with earthquakes, war, fallen angel attacks, insane demonic activity. And what he's saying is, we have entered into this period of time. We are in the end of the end times. Literally, all hell is about to break loose on the earth. Steve and I have done programs. In fact, with his book, we're giving away 49 hours of interviews, 49 hours.
Audio series that you can listen to word by word.
Yeah, put them in your car, play them as you drive, or put them on your headset. This represents 25 years of research by me and Steve, but it's not going to cost you anything. We're giving it away free with this book and as well as the book Unearthing the Lost World of the Cloud
And we'll
Eaters.
Tell you about that in just a minute.
Yeah, but we'll tell you more about that. And so last week we had ended the program talking about these kind of issues, the kind of very things that fulfill the prophecy that the day is coming when men's hearts will fail them for fear, seeing those things that are coming upon the earth. But we also said coming up on the earth, because Steve and I show in 49 hours of audio that there's actually quite a few places in the scripture that literally refer in the end times to these doorways, these gateways, the portals, which the natives also talk to us about, through which the giants are going to rise back up on the surface of the earth. Isaiah the prophet talks about that, right? Mm-hmm. And that is definitely going to cause people's hearts to fail them for fear. And that's definitely going to put people in a place where they better know what Steve Quayle is talking about in this book. You're looking on the back of this book, he deals with God's everlasting preeminence. He deals with God's everlasting power, God's everlasting protection, provision, patience, purity, proclamation, and so on. But Steve, this one here stood out to me, God's everlasting power, and then it says, discover the dunamis power of God through his Holy Spirit. Maybe explain to people what dunamis is.
Dunamis is obviously the root word for dynamite, and one of the questions I get is, where is the power of God? The powers of darkness, again, have stolen the narrative because the people that usually go into the occult, so many of them are fleeing Christianity because they're seeing real things happen in the spirit world.
Oh, yeah.
Those real spirits are deceiving them, ultimately will destroy them.
Warlocks casting spells against churches. I mean, we've never seen a climate where more proactive evil is being unleashed purposefully against Christians in particular.
Right. And I maintain this, the whole issue of abortion, and I think that people need to understand this, was a blood sacrifice, the ultimate blood sacrifice for the end times. Mm. And that was, if you will, the power. There's real power in the blood, even human blood. What are all the technocrat billionaires doing? They're transfusing themselves with the blood of the young.
Right.
So in order for all of the, if you will, the giant of history is their practice of religion. It always involved human sacrifice, blood, blood, drinking the blood, the slaughter of the innocents. Tom, you've been carrying stories about human trafficking. And,
yes.
And I mean, I just go down on my face and I just say, God, stop it. Tell me what I got to do to stop it.
Right.
Because again, I'm not saying, I pray everybody's saying that, but Joe, there is a seeming lack of power, and I'll give the people the answer. When I hear people say, I wish we had a New Testament church like the book of Acts, I said, tell me what the dunamis was. Tell me what in Acts chapter 2, 10, and 19 that the disciples used as a reference point that God had supernaturally baptized them with fire. Well, it was the supernatural presence of the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
And Acts chapter 2, 10, and 19, it wasn't about whether they'd been water baptized or not. But after that experience, Jesus breathed on the disciples in John 20:22, I think it is, and said, receive you the Holy Ghost. So it's not a question about who does or who doesn't. But it's kind of like this, a level of training. You know, there's a difference between a guy who's got, let's say, first grade tactical training and 12th, you know, or same thing in martial arts, same thing in anything. Proficiency brings you to a place of performance.
Spiritually as well, though.
Yes, and that's what we're talking about.
So where is the body of Christ in this? Where are the super soldiers for God?
That's a good
I mean, I don't want to get ahead of you, but where are they?
No, listen, brother, you know, I love this, and this is we got to be ahead of each other on this, because they have denied the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit of the living God has been denied access to bring the most important thing to the people of God that they need, the power of God to overcome the evil one, the dunamis. People can have, they can have exousia, they can have the authority, but there's a difference between authority and power. You know this.
Right.
It's not the guy who talks the tough, and you just had one of the most famous wrestlers or fighters in the world here, but he proved in the arena he could talk the talk and walk the walk and fight the fight and win the fight, you know? But Acts 2, 10, and 19, it's apparent that where the Holy Spirit is denied access, and in the denial of Jesus has been the denial of the power of the living God through the presence of the Holy Spirit. I remember the best part of when I came out of the gutter into the household of faith, I'd see people get up and testify of what Jesus had done.
Right.
What do you call that? Testimony night or whatever.
Yes,
you know?
Testimonials.
Yeah.
Prayer reports.
Yeah, I used to say, how cool is that? I'd take those reports and go share them, you know?
Yes.
God is alive. But the point is that now because of the denial of faith, and I want to make something clear. These are my words. Don't get mad at these guys. I have never seen abject cowardice spoken by the most powerful pulpits in America. Cowardice.
Wow.
Friendship with the world is enmity with God. that tells me I'm at war. You know, seems
yes.
like always been. But the point is that as we are at war, then what do you do? You've got to bring out the big guns. Christians, Joe, Tom, they don't have the big guns. And I don't mean, I'm not making the point like Jesus' gun, but I'm saying the power is in the ability to exercise that authority and bring about a desired result. Good example, Moses. Mm. Moses is a pretty meek guy. The Bible teaches him the meekest man in the world. You know, God says he's going to deliver Israel by his staff. I don't think Moses knew at that point that his staff was going to turn into a serpent mm-hmm. that would devour the serpents of the Egyptian magicians. So at this point, our testimony of Jesus, we're told in the book of Revelation, and we overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, mm-hmm. and loving not our lives unto death. Derek Prince, before he died, I think one of the last things he said, a very powerful man of God, he said, the reason Islam will conquer until God raises up his people to challenge it is because they're not afraid to die for what they believe,
right.
and the Christians are. Mm. So when the commandment to go out in the world and make disciples of all nations, that word, when Jesus said, you'll be my witnesses, you'll be my martyrs. Now, here's the deal. I don't see in the Old or New Testament where pacifism is endorsed by the living God. I don't see it. I'm a student of Scripture, I'm a researcher, I'm not a scholar, but I'm a researcher. And there is no evidence, any place in the Old or New Testament that pacifism is basically okay.
Right.
When Jesus said, turn the other cheek, that's if someone, you know, makes a comment. But also, he's the one telling disciples to go and sell a sword.
It's very out of context.
Yeah. Well, I would just jump in here because, again, this book deals with prophecy, but it also tells us what our promise, where our promise is.
That's right.
Where we can have faith. And confidence, and it's found in Christ. And so we do have people in the world today that are willing to die for their Christian faith, and they are dying.
Yes, sir.
I would venture to say that here in the United States of America, there would be very, very few Christians literally willing to suffer a martyr's death over denying the faith. And that's the reason why I asked you in last week's program, do you believe that as we enter into a time of great persecution, that out of that are going to come people that are going to say, like the early church did, whether is it better for us to obey God or men? And they chose the hard road, and they did lay down their life. And every one of the disciples died a martyr's death, right, as did many of their converts. But look at what happened. They went out. They were unstoppable. They were the organized Jewish religion was against them. They killed Christ, right?
Right.
The Romans were against them. Much of the pagan world was absolutely against them. And yet, 150 years after this ragtag group of disciples that followed this man named Jesus were preaching the gospel, no more in Ephesus did you hear, great is the goddess Diana. Her temple was in ruins. The Apollonian oracle at Delphi had fallen into ruins. Nobody was even going in there anymore, and Christianity was sweeping the globe, right?
Right.
Now you come to today, and it seems like it's absolutely the reverse of that.
Yeah.
That over the last 100 years, the prosperity gospel and all this stuff being preached had diminished what the early church taught was you're a follower of Christ, you're a disciple of Christ. God is a Santa Claus who passes out gifts.
Yes.
And that literally stripped kind of the servitude, if you would, out of Christianity. And little by little, we're now at a point where the millennials, they don't even know what, they have no model of what Christianity
Absolutely.
Even is, as the great generation has died off. And so here we find ourselves the opposite of what happened in the first church, where we're headed right back into Roman persecution, right? Right back into a time where people are going to have to die for their faith. I don't love seeing that coming. What I do love, though, is what this is all about. If you want to know where your strength is, if you want to know where the dynamite, Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is, and he uses that word there, the dunamain, the dynamite, the explosive power of God, right?
Yes, sir.
Unto salvation to the Jews and also to the Gentiles. So, Steve, I want to thank you. I know the program's not over with yet, so I'm not concluding here, but I want to thank you for producing what I think is probably your most valuable book to date, and takes everything else that you've written over the last 30 years, puts it all together and says, but now I want to show you how you can lay down at night and be able to sleep peacefully, having confidence in God and in Christ that He's in control of the future.
That's a perfect example. And this is basically, again, I don't want to, how do I say this, just go over and over it, but you know, everybody that's listening to me is, well, either is at a crisis point, has been at a crisis point, or will soon enter into a crisis point where life is bigger than you are, where events are out of your control. And if you've ever been a perfectionist, which you are, and I am, and, you know, believe it or not, perfectionists drive themselves crazy. And I'm not saying you drive yourself crazy, but I had to come to the point where, is this convicting? No, I'm just saying, I had to come to the point where I realized I'm a flawed human being.
Right.
I told people National Geographic's been around for, what, 150 years, and I got more issues than they do. Okay? So the thing is, but, and I remember, and you know what? I heard in my spirit, yeah, but I'm writing the last chapter of your book. Mm. I thought, God, that's very cool, you know?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that's very yeah cool. So here's the thing. I'm excited about Jesus, okay? I've been called every name you can call, you know, and good right for them calling me that. When they said, you know, and when I came out of the Jesus movement, you know, we were Jesus freaks, okay? Mm-hmm. Trust me, the way you dress wasn't the impression, but there was such a love. And most of the people I know, Joe, Tom, you guys would probably say the same thing, but they who came out of the Jesus movement are still walking with Jesus because they had a transformational encounter.
Right.
I want to define something. A transformational encounter means you were this, you now become this, a new creation. Mm-hmm. And when people start to go that, hey, Jesus is talking about superpositioning, quantum physics, you know, in the realm of we're seated in heavenly places, you know, we may get our bottoms kicked here, but we're still seated in heavenly places. That's superpositioning.
Mm-hmm.
How cool is this? So I think the thing is, there is no fear of God in the land. I love the reverential awe of God. Whether you go out and look at the stars in the sky, you look at the most beautiful mountain range. By the way, I know where God goes on vacation on Earth. It is Glacier National Park. I mean, it is so beautiful. I'd say that just because of this. An anecdote, when you go up going to the Sun Highway, that's what it's called, it's very steep, but you're in these majestic peaks with valleys and everything. And I mean, it's like no other place. I pulled over and started praising God, and I was listening, and as bad as my hearing is, and the guy I'm here and his car's here, he's praising God. And it's so overwhelming. See, I want one thing, you guys, and this is something, what do you really want, Quayle? I want the reverential awe of the Lord Jesus Christ to be brought back into those who claim His name with the power of the Holy Ghost, showing to everybody that these men, these women, these children have been with Jesus. And what I'm noticing, you've got young children, the young children are getting hold of some incredible principles of God. And, you know, I'm not around little kids except my grandkids, and we talk about fallen angels and stuff, but the point is, is that there's a hunger in that generation. I'd say under 10. What's that, 10?
Yeah, Z generation.
Okay, the Z generation. Yeah,
and actually, statistics are showing, I was sharing these with Joe recently, that they're the most conservative generation since before the Great Generation, right? And so I think we could be seeing the seeds of something, and we come back from the commercial. I want to ask you if you think we're moving towards another Jesus movement like you and I were a part of.
Amen.
Well, we want to tell you how you can get a copy of the new book by Steve Quayle in our Steve Quayle, God is Our Refuge special offer, Jesus, the Premise of the Promise, God's Answer for Perilous Times. When you order this book from SkyWatch TV, we're also excited to include the best-selling book by Steve Quayle and Dr. Thomas Horn, Unearthing the Lost World of the Cloud Eaters, which includes compelling evidence of the incursion of giants in the Americas. But that's not all. We're also going to include the 20-hour audio series Official Disclosure, featuring the last interview between Stanton Friedman and Dr. Thomas Horn. And maybe Tom will tell you about that. We're also throwing in the 24-hour audio series Shadow Hand, which includes the entire series on the days of Noah, psychotronic warfare, the coming replacement humans, and the coming zombie apocalypse. And finally, the audio series that's nearly 5 hours, The Hybrid Age, on the subject of transhumanism. Ladies and gentlemen, this offer holds a retail value of $125, yours now for a donation of only $35 plus shipping and handling. This is not one you're going to want to miss. This is Steve Quayle's last and final book. But before we went to the break, Tom was just about to ask you something in regards to the potential of a last great awakening.
Yeah, so Steve had mentioned, you know, a few minutes ago about how he kind of grew up in the Jesus People movement. I did too.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I've noted is some similarities to what happened in the Jesus People movement. The nice thing about that movement was it wasn't orchestrated. A bunch of preachers didn't get together and say, here's what we're going to do, and here's how we're going to make this happen. It was completely organic,
mm-hmm.
And it just started growing among the, you know, the free love hippie types, right, who suddenly fell in love with the idea mm-hmm. of this man, Jesus. They kind of became their own preachers. A lot of stuff grew out of that. You know, the big church that Chuck Misler had taught in for so many years, a bunch of those organizations grew out of it, but it really started organic. It was providential. It was sovereign.
Mm-hmm.
Now, but there were some things about the Jesus People. They were anti-government. They were anti-Vietnam War.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
They're the very ones that Nixon has to get the water cannons out in front of the White House, you know, to push these
right.
people back, right?
Right.
They were marching, and they've got Jane Fonda and all these other people marching with them. And so look at today. You have a whole generation of young people, anti-government, anti-war. They don't trust the deep state at all.
No,
right? And they're as lost as the Jesus People were.
Right.
But they're anti-Brexit. They're anti-globalists. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in there. That, in fact, I think part of this was in the grassroots that elected Donald Trump, that they were opposed to things just going on as always with the rhinos and the Democrats and the whatever, mm-hmm. you know, career politicians. But there's a thing that happens. We understand it both in theology and in psychology, and that is that people at their core need a sovereign. They need somebody to believe in. They need to know that there is a power, that dunamain,
yes.
a power greater than their circumstances, right? That if they need to, they can do exactly. You started last week by describing this book as coming out of a prayer, help me, Jesus, right? When people get desperate, they say, help me, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I see that these young people today are lost, but I know inside them is that need for a sovereign.
Amen.
And what happened with the Jesus People movement was when they lost confidence in the government, they needed something to fill that void, and it became
right.
Jesus Christ, right?
Yes.
And it became its own phenomenon. So a long segue to ask, if you believe that what you and I were privileged to experience in the Jesus People movement, do you think something like that between the millennials and the Z generation could also be literally formulating right now?
Absolutely. And it's also kind of interesting, Tom, as you laid out so beautifully the Jesus movement, because there's also a thing, too. People had no place else to go except the establishment, and God gave them somebody to go to
right.
and a place to
yes.
go to.
Yes.
And I'm telling you this. I think that we're going to see the time the Bible talks about, we are in the end times, where God compels, he commands his angels to go out in the highways and byways. How many people do we have in the highways and byways? And I'm praying for the homeless. I'm praying for the helpless. I'm praying, God, let it start there. You know, here's the deal. I want God to be literally, the angels of heaven rejoice over one backslider that comes back. You know, the scripture says all heaven rejoices. But I'm expecting God to move in the most unlikely places, but with the most powerful expression. Because, you know, you've quoted it, I'm sure preached it, the glory of the latter is going to be greater than the former. And right now, you don't see much glory in the latter.
Right.
But, yeah, I believe we're on the verge of that. And I believe this is why it's so critical that the stuff that the Lord has let you and I do and others, but I'm just talking because it's us. When you're looking at 49 hours of freebies, I don't think people have any clue of how much time went into those, what it took of your life's experience, what it took of my life's experience. In essence, God's letting us pour out for the next generations the stuff that he's poured into us. And I tell people, Jesus is there. He's going to do it, and absolutely. But it's not going to come within the four walls
mm-hmm.
and the church. What is that? Here's the church. Here's the steeple.
You're right.
Mm-hmm. Open it up and
yes.
see the people.
Yes.
I probably murdered that, too. Yeah. But anyway, but the point is, it's going to be out in the highways. It's going to be out in the byways. It's going to be truckers weeping in their trucks accepting Jesus because they're listening
yes.
to that, and I've heard stories about it. It's going to be people going, you know, you mean God will forgive you? The greatest testimony I ever heard in my life of somebody listening to my testimony is, I figured if God could forgive you, he could forgive me.
Right.
And I said,
right.
Now you get it.
Now it's, right.
So
yeah, right.
The Bible says, let the people who have the Lord has redeemed say so, declare so. And that goes into Revelation. We overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and we love not our life unto death. Before you can have a testimony, you got to have a test. And the testimony comes when when we, human beings, get touched by the supernatural, redemptive hand of the living God, and we become new creations, and that's what empowers us until the day we go to meet with Jesus. And people are going to be desperate. And that's when the word help comes in.
Yeah, Steve, we've got about like 1.5 minutes left. If you wanted to give our audience like a final thought, really, about what motivated you to write this and what you hope that they can receive from it, what would it be?
We're at the point in the world now where nothing will be stable, where everything will be in a tumult, an upheaval, mm-hmm. where people who have counted on other things, other ones, other people, other friends, other systems or jobs, where everything that they've known to be normal, the word normal does no longer exist, okay? It doesn't exist. It does not exist. Everything has changed. But the one thing that never changes and the one person that never changes is Jesus. The reason I hold this up isn't go, yeah, look at the cool book. But if you notice, there's a crown of thorns before there's a royal crown of kingship.
Mm, yeah.
And that's what I love about Jesus. And the fact that, ladies and gentlemen, the fact that Jesus loves you, ask him, help me, Jesus. Help thou my unbelief.
Mm-hmm. The book, Jesus, the Premise of the Promise, along with a lot of other stuff, 49 hours of some of the greatest audio series that SkyWatch Television has ever produced, much of which includes Dr. Thomas Horn, Steve Quill, back when you guys were covering the days of Noah, so much great stuff on transhumanism. It's a great package. We really want you to take advantage of it. We're just about out of time, Steve, but for Tom Horn, thanks for joining us on the program. And Steve, it's always good to see you.
Nice to be with you. 2 years, but it's nice to be with you.
It's been too long. We'll do it again. I'm Joe Horn. This is SkyWatch TV.